This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of all creation, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and bodies and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So Sam has been good enough to help me today in a couple of different ways. And first of all, he's going to bring his bicycle over to the center. And as he's doing it, he's not going to ride it, but he's going to walk it over. And he's noticed now he's got to pay attention to what he's doing, right? If he were to ride it, you can park it right here. Just put the kickstand down. Thank you very much, sir. Don't go far. No, right here. You're good. So if he were to ride this down the center aisle, or if he were riding it outside, he'd have to pay attention, right? He'd have to really be focusing on what he was doing, or what would happen? What would happen? He'd get in a crash, right? So he has to pay attention. Same thing if you're driving a car and you're texting, you could get in a crash. We have to be focused on what we're doing if we don't want to mess up. Same thing with sports. So Sam, you ready? So if we start throwing this tennis ball and we're not paying attention, although he was paying attention, it's a little hard to do it in front of everybody, right? And I was throwing it kind of hard. Thank you, Sam. But if I'm not watching this ball, if I'm not watching it every second, I'm not going to catch it. I'm not going to catch it if I'm not focusing on what I'm doing. True in our jobs, true in our relationships. And it was true in the gospel for today. Jesus was telling his disciples and is telling us the most important thing to focus on in our lives. The most important thing. But to set the scene, I'd like to back it up a few verses. The gospel for today is from the 13th chapter of John, 31 to 35, those verses. And so if you back it up a few verses, it sets the scene. They're at the Last Supper. It's the night before Jesus is going to be killed, right? They're there. They don't know it. They don't know that somebody is going to betray Jesus, but Jesus knows someone is going to betray him. And he says to the group, somebody, one of you, is going to betray me this night. And so they're all looking around saying, wait, what? Who? Who could it be? Who could possibly be the one that would turn against our Lord? And so Peter, who's like two down from Jesus, he's nudging the beloved disciple. We don't know why he was called that. Jesus loved them all, but that's what he was called. We think it was John, probably. Nudges him and says, you ask him, who is it? So John asks him, and this is what he says right before today's gospel. He says, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Jesus said to Judas, do quickly what you have to do. Just go ahead and do it. Now no one at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, he was like the bookkeeper for the group, the money holder, that Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, Judas immediately went out, and it was night, it says, just before today's gospel, and it was night. And John uses that very specifically. It was a dark time. It was going to be a dark couple of days. And so then Jesus says, Now the Son of Man is glorified. Glorified. And what that means is that the real essence of who he was about to be shown. The real essence, that he wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth. He wasn't just one of the guys. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And that was about to be revealed in the next 3 days. And so then Jesus says to them, the most important thing, and you would have thought that at this point Jesus would have gone into a parable or a story because that's how he was always teaching, but not this night. It was too important. And so he says to them, listen to me. And this is exactly what he said to them. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you don't get anything else, Jesus is saying, get this. This is it. It's the point of everything. I'm reminded of a story that my sister told me about 20 years ago. She lived in Jupiter at the time, and she used to take her lunch break and go over to Juno Beach and have her lunch in her car and look at the beach. And so on one particular Sunday, she was doing that, and she's in her car. She's watching, and she sees this little elderly man who was really having a difficult time walking, but he had a bucket. And she watched him walk down to the beach, and he got a bucket of water, and he turned around, and he started walking back up the beach. And every few steps, he'd stop, and he'd lean over on the bucket to catch his breath. And then he'd stand up, and he'd take a couple more steps, and he'd put the bucket down, and he'd lean over and take a couple more breaths. And she said she remembers thinking, why doesn't somebody help him? And then she thought, oh, duh, maybe I could go help him. So she goes down, helps the man, takes the bucket, walks him up. He pointed to the steps. He was still a little out of breath. They get up toward the steps, and she said, where would you like the bucket? And he said, right there by my wife. And there was an elderly woman sitting on the steps. And so he put the bucket by the steps, and he knelt down, and he washed the sand off of her feet. This was before Du Bois Park had showers or spigots. That's the love that Jesus is talking about. He was washing her feet. And he would have made it all the way back up that beach with that bucket. Love as I have loved you, Jesus says. When we talk about love as Christ loves us. A good friend of mine, I didn't ask his permission to give his name, so I won't say his name, but he's here, gave me this cross this week. And it's a Tau cross, it's called. It's for the last letter of the alphabet. And it's the cross of St. Francis. And St. Francis wore it, and he frequently would sign his name, legend has it, by just signing a Tau. Because he said that it symbolized many things. When the monks and friars would put their arms out, their robes looked like that, the way the sleeves would go down. It also represented that anything that they got in their heads, scripture or doctrine or lessons or anything, was no good unless they had evidence of it in the world by their love, by their action. And so when you see this cross, it's Francis saying, my God and my all, I give it all to you, just like that man with his wife at the beach. If we don't demonstrate it, if we don't walk the talk, that's all it is. Jesus was very clear. He cut to the chase. He was plain. He was blunt. He was focused on the most important thing in life. So Sam, ready to help again? I could turn it upside down right here. We practice, so don't worry. So I always like this example, and maybe you've heard it. I did it here many, many years ago. So we're going to turn this bicycle upside down so we can spin the wheel. You want to spin it? I'll hold this. Go ahead. Really fast. Okay, so it spins and spins and spins, and if it was going really super fast, all you would see was the hub, right? All you really will see if it's going really fast is the center. You might see some spinning, some silver, but really the focus point is the center. So if this center represents the love of Christ and love in the world, and each of these spokes represents us, the farther you get away from the hub, the farther you get away from each other. Right? And the closer you get to the hub, the closer you get to one another. And the reverse is true. The closer we get to one another in truth and in love, the closer we get to the hub of what's important in this world. And sometimes we're way out here and we are spinning and spinning and spinning in some other orbit, thinking there is no God, thinking that there's nothing that can possibly have meaning in this world with all the awful things that are going on, and there is no God, and how could it be? And we're spinning, but guess what? We are still connected to God. It's not that God left, it's that we are spinning without any purpose. We love one another as Christ has loved us. Thank you. You can take that off. I think he needs a hand, right? Thank you, Sam. This love of Christ of which we speak is not only for people, but we celebrate Earth Day this week, as I said earlier, and it's also for all of creation. All of creation. We aren't separate from it. If we talk about saving the earth, we might as well say save ourselves, because that's how connected it is. That's how connected we are with all of creation. I sit at the ocean a lot, and I gaze at the ocean, and I'm reminded of the scripture from Job that says, "Speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee." And what I see, and what I feel, and what I hear when I'm down at that ocean is that we all are breathing the same air. We're all dependent on that ocean, believe it or not, for our clean air. We're all dependent and rely upon the same sun. And if you notice, you're in an elevator talking, and what do people frequently talk about? The weather. It's a common denominator. I used to think it was just kind of frivolous talk, but it isn't. It's because that's what is uniting us. So it's just as important for us to be able to love one another and all of creation, on this especially. And it's all about perspective. Two stories. A well-to-do man goes to a poor part of town to help. And it's near the projects. And a teenage boy from the projects comes out. This guy pulls up in a real fancy car, and he gets out, and he's, you know, wanting to really help. Good guy. And the teenager comes up, and he's kind of bedraggled, and he looks at the car, and he said, "Nice car, man." And he said, "Where did you get it?" And he said, "Well, actually, I just got it. It was right after Christmas." He said, "My brother gave it to me as a present." He said, "You mean to tell me he gave you a car? No strings attached?" And he said, "Yeah, isn't that something?" And then the kid says, "Whoa, I wish I had." And the man thought for sure he was going to say, "I wish I had a brother like that." And what he said was, "I wish I could be a brother like that and give my little brother a car." Perspective. That's what Christ is talking about today. How are we loving one another? This last story in closing comes from a long, long time ago in Nuremberg in the 15th century. There was a family with 18 children. Can you imagine? 18 children. The older two had a lot of artistic ability, a lot of artistic flair, but there was no way they figured that they could ever go to the art academy because they just didn't have the money. And so the two of them, their names were Albrecht and Alfred. Dürer was the last name. That might ring a bell to some of you. those two, the two of them were talking, and it was late one night, and they said, okay, we're going to make a deal. We're going to flip a coin. And whoever the loser is has to work in the mines for 4 years and pay for the other one to go to art school. And then when the other one graduates from art school and is making money, then it'll be the other one's turn and he can go to art school. So they said, okay, shook on it. They knew that they would be committed to one another. They loved each other so much. So they flipped the coin. Alfred loses. He goes down to the dangerous mines for 4 years and works and works and works. And it was treacherous. Albrecht, on the other hand, goes off to the art academy and quickly became one of the most famous artists of all of the Renaissance. And his commissions for his paintings were even greater than some of his teachers. And so he finally graduates, and he's so successful and already making lots of money. He goes back home. They have a big celebration. And he goes in, and they're toasting and raising their glasses. And Alfred is there, and Albrecht looks at him, and he says, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn, my brother. I'm so happy that now I can pay for you to go to school. And Albert folds his hands. He says, oh, my brother, no. No. For you see, the 4 years in the mines have ruined my hands. I've broken almost every bone in them from the work. And now the arthritis is so bad that I can hardly hold a cup to toast you this day, much less a paintbrush. So it's too late for me. And Albrecht would go on to paint his brother's hands in honor of the suffering and the hard work and the love. You've probably seen the painting. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so should you love one another. By this you will know, they will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. Amen.